It's Wednesday, November 24th, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. And today we're taking the oral history of Joan Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N. Joan, what is your full name?
Joan Isabel La Liberty Hartman.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Borges Hospital on August 8th, 1928.
Okay, and where do you live today?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina.
And you're married?
Yes.
Yes? What's your husband's name?
Paul R. Hartman.
And your maiden name is?
La Liberty.
La Liberty. Spell that.
Capital L-A, capital L-I-B-E-R-T-E.
Okay. And you have children?
Yes.
Okay. How many have you got?
I have three children.
What are their first names?
David, Gary, Jill.
Okay. And are you a grandmother?
Yes.
Okay.
I have seven grandchildren.
Seven. Congratulations. Great. Okay. And you said that you worked for KVP.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. When did you do that?
I worked in the summers when I was in high school during World War II, and I worked in the filing department in the office.
Okay.
And I worked for Adelaide Frary.
Okay.
And the office manager was Thomas Peck, and he was my parents' next-door neighbor.
Okay.
But that had no influence.
How did you get hired? Did you just go apply?
Well, at that time, probably just talking over the garden gate, as the saying goes.
Yeah, because it was the war.
Yes.
Sure. And they probably needed people.
Right.
And you said you worked 44 hours a week.
We were 44 hours a week. We worked, in other words, we worked half a day on Saturday.
A half a day on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. And how did you like that job?
Oh, yes, I enjoyed it. It was very interesting to find out what kind of paper we made at KVP and where it went and what kind of products used parchment paper, as well as all the other papers.
And so you mentioned to me before we started recording that you started when you were 16.
Yes.
So that meant you had money in your pocket.
Yes.
When you were in high school.
Well, didn't go far, but yes.
Yeah, sure.
Mostly saved it.
Yeah.
Because at that time, there weren't, unless you took the bus downtown, gas was rationed.
That's right.
So you didn't go very far.
That's right. And you said that you also lived in Parchment.
Yes.
Okay. From a very young age?
Off and on until I was probably maybe 3 or 4 years old. We lived in different places. But then we lived at 310 South Riverview Drive, which the house is no longer there. It was a company house.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, I can remember my father shoveling coal in the basement. It was not attached to the steam system that I've heard other people say.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we knew everybody.
And you were right across the street from the community house.
Right. And the Roethlisbergers lived in the community house, and their daughter was my babysitter.
What was her name?
Jean Roethlisberger.
Oh.
And she went on to marry, can't tell you her married name, but she lived in the area for years, too.
Okay. But your parents weren't from here.
Oh, no.
Where are your parents from?
My father was from Niagara, Wisconsin, and he worked for Kimberly Clark Paper Mill. And then was transferred to Niagara Falls, New York, with Kimberly Clark, where he was a machine tender in the paper mill. And my mother, who was born and raised in Niagara Falls, New York, met him there. And they started dating at that time. And then my father came to work for KVP here in Parchment. And shortly thereafterward, they were married.
And what are your parents' names?
My mother's name is Dorothy Mildred Walter La Liberty.
Okay.
And my father is Lester Henry La Liberty.
Okay. And do you recall how long he worked for the mill?
He was in his, let's see, I can't tell you off the top of my head. My father worked probably from 1925 until he retired because of a medical condition and became a consultant after 1962.
A consultant for KVP?
Yes.
In what area?
Well, he was superintendent of mill number 2.
I see.
And
when he retired?
Yes.
Yeah, he had risen to that position.
He was one of the first people to have a pacemaker at University Hospital in Ann Arbor.
Oh, my.
And so that was primarily the reason that he retired.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time.
How long did he live with a pacemaker?
How long?
Yeah, do you remember?
Oh, he lived to be 83.
Wonderful.
So.
Wonderful. And you said your mother did or did not work for the
mill?
No,
my mother never
she
worked
didn't.
After she was married.
Okay. But you went to Parchment Schools.
Yes, I did.
Do you remember teachers?
Oh, I was trying to think the other day all the different, because I had Miss Bellingham and Miss Martin and Miss Hickey.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to think. And, of course, Mr. Roos and George McDonald were
sure.
The last teachers because they were the principal and the superintendent of the school, which was all in one building.
Right.
On Riverview Drive.
On Riverview, right.
And then at ninth grade, I went to Kalamazoo Central.
Right.
On the bus every day.
On the bus. So how did you like Parchment Schools? Did you enjoy yourself? I mean, did you guys have fun or?
Well, yes, I guess. We didn't have any extracurricular activities as such.
What was your best subject?
Oh, I had a lot of friends that were in the school at that time, but they either were neighbors or that lived in Parchment.
Sure.
Not everyone's parents worked for KVP, though.
That's right.
Some of the other houses were not.
Yeah.
And
And did you go to church here?
No.
Okay.
I was a member of St. Luke's Church in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
And my father belonged to St. Joe's. My mother and I were both St. Luke's Episcopalians, and my father was Roman Catholic and belonged to St. Augustine.
Okay.
So we attended downtown.
Downtown, yeah. The diocese. What did you like about school?
What did I like?
Do you have a favorite class?
Not really.
Art, math, English. No.
No?
No. Okay. Okay, yeah.
And the people that I went to Kalamazoo Central with, it's interesting because they had all lived in Kalamazoo and gone through the Kalamazoo schools. And as it turns out, this many years later, four of them are still my best friends, and we still get together with them and their husbands after all these years.
Yeah.
And we graduated in 1946, so that's a little while ago.
I guess so. How wonderful.
It is.
Yeah. That's great. Do you remember downtown Parchment? Do you remember what Parchment looked like or any stores you used to go into?
Well, you didn't have much choice. It was an A&P store, and there was a drug store.
Was there a department store around?
No, that was not here at that time.
That wasn't?
Mm-mm. That's years later.
Do you remember, a couple of people have referred to, and it's the only time I've ever heard this referred to, a place called Goosen's, was that around, up on G and North Riverview?
No.
No? Up there it was kind of a...
That's kind of the hinterland as far as I was concerned.
It was then, wasn't it? I mean,
yes.
There was so much more rural then.
I had a friend that lived down beyond that area, down south of there. Well, I guess it would be south, not near south. But I used to ride my bike to one girl's house.
Yeah.
But that was a long way away.
It was.
But it was a safe community. That's one thing that I think nobody now would ever understand.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we lived across the street in 310 South Riverview,
right.
We knew everybody. We were out all hours. Nobody paid attention to what time it was, if it was dark, And all of us, it was funny because most of us moved up the hills, as the saying goes. And when we got older, because our parents built houses or bought land. And at that time, you could buy the land, but you had to build within the time frame.
What was kind company of time land. Frame? Oh, company land.
Yes. And you could, and then you had, I don't know, because I was only 10 years old when my parents built their house.
Do you remember what the house number was?
Sure. 294 Glendale Boulevard.
Okay. So that was built on company land.
Oh, yes.
I see.
And,
yeah.
And as I've got pictures and I laugh because when you look at them, there are no trees beyond that house. There are a few houses, and I can remember when the minister's house across the street and the Gibbs lived across the street and J.K.'s son lived across the street. Martha Jo Kinderberger was just a little bit younger than I was, and then she had an older sister.
I see.
But there were very few houses.
Did you know the Kinderbergers, speaking of them?
Well, that family I knew.
How about Uncle Jake?
Well, I can remember him walking the streets with his Doberman pincers when we lived down in Riverview. Oh, absolutely. And if you didn't mow your grass, you got told.
So I've heard. Yeah. Because this town grew up around the mill.
Right. And around the church. Because the community
the
house.
Did they call it? I think they called it Parchment Union Methodist Church at the time.
No, they called it the community house. It was the church, but it was always referred to as the community house.
I see.
My father bought a chair. Everybody that worked for the mill bought a chair in the church.
They did?
Oh, yes.
Oh, was that voluntary or not? Well, he was kind of directed to do that.
I would assume so. And, of course, when I was growing up and as I got older, we had a gym, and I can't tell you when the gym was built.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to play badminton, and they used to have social gatherings. Not things that were banned by the Methodist Church at that time.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, J.K. was going to be a Methodist minister, and then because of his vision, was unable to fulfill
that's
that.
That's right. That's so, right. This was something that was very close to him. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in summertime, they'd have, like, Bible school, and I'd go to that because it was across the street.
Sure.
But
and they'd have big, my understanding is big Halloween parties and big Christmas parties for residents?
Well, I don't remember. That was more the employee. The Christmas party was employees.
Okay.
But not for families that I recall. Now, they did serve meals in the downstairs of the community house.
That's right.
And
right.
I can remember my mother going to the Ladies' Aid, which was part of this church, actually, but was community, too.
And what did they do, the Ladies' Aid group? Do you know?
Raise funds for missionary work, I assume.
I see.
Something like that. And in the summertime, when we were young, growing up, before we were old enough to go to work, in the summer, the boys had a program, and they worked in the gardens.
Ah.
And so that was their area. And Mrs. Roethlisberger used to have cooking for the girls. So we were allowed to cook and learn to prepare food in the kitchen that did serve the meals.
Now, cooking classes in the kitchen at the community house.
Yeah. Now, Bev DeBoer would know that because she was only raised two blocks from me. I've known her for that many years.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. And these were, how old were you?
Oh, I can't tell you how old we were.
Elementary school?
I doubt it. We were probably in junior high school.
In junior high school.
I would imagine.
I see.
But they wanted something for the youngsters. And, you know, the tennis courts were in the park. And the Now, you're talking about Christmas and Halloween. See, now, I remember 4th of July.
Oh.
We had huge programs, musical programs. And Mr. McDowell was in charge of that.
4th of July in the community house or Kindleberger
Park? No, in Kindleberger Park.
Yeah.
We had fireworks and 4th of July. And then there used to be other programs. And during the war, they brought the dogs that they used over at Fort Custer. They'd bring those dogs and do demonstrations.
Oh, military dogs.
Yes. So that... And they used to play ball. My father played baseball.
He did. He was on a KVP team?
When I was very young,
sure,
yeah. And
sure.
At that time, it used to be fun because they'd have the House of David from
yes.
Benton Harbor come, and they'd let their hair down, and that was a big event. But
was it? Was it? Okay.
But
okay.
Because the playing fields that are up on top of the hill were not there at that time.
That's right.
Of and of course, in the wintertime, you always sled on the hills
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. skied.
Yeah.
Behind my parents' house on Glendale Boulevard, there always was a big empty lot. There was two lots behind there that were empty. So then Haywards and Southams lived. And so we could cut through that to go sledding in the park.
Yeah.
And you could go play tennis.
Sure.
But
how about when you were, just to go back a little bit, to the war years.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people had gardens, didn't they?
And
they just supplement their... There are victory gardens.
But they were in their own yards. I don't remember everyone having a community.
No community.
Not that I recall.
Do you remember people going door to door selling vegetables?
No.
Not that you recall?
Okay. No. No, I don't remember ever.
One person told me that they used to do that. Okay.
No. I know what you're talking about. Cause
sure.
I've seen that at my husband's family.
Yeah. So how big was the company house at 310 South Riverview?
The first floor was a kitchen, dining room, living room, and then a stairway, and then there were two bedrooms upstairs, bathroom upstairs.
I see.
And then a basement, because my mother fell down the stairs.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
She...
Badly?
Well,
injured?
Bruises, just bruises and bumps. And, of course, we always had Dr. Pullen on the corner if we really got in trouble.
Dr. Pullen, Pullen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I had my appendix taken out when I was 5, and he was my doctor.
So he was the sort of primary care doctor for this area?
I would say
so. At the time, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a small community.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah. But as I say, not everyone worked for KBP, because the house next door, the Francois, they did not
work. Yeah, talk about your neighbors. What were your
Renee
like?
Francois was my age, and she had older brothers and sisters. And then behind that house, McKinley's lived, one of the houses back there, and Noble's. And then the Johnsons lived off on the next street over, and they had all boys, and one was in my class, Doug Johnson. And then, like I said, Bev Ronnie DeBoer.
Uh-huh.
Lived down across from the office, and the Chases live across from the office. That was down in South Riverview.
Sure.
And then up in Glendale, down from my mother and dad's house, the Robinsons lived, and they did not work for the company. And then Fitzgeralds and Browns and Wood, John Wood, he was one of the officers in the...
Yes, he was. No. Yeah.
And then I think the Powells lived in the corner house. And then Christie's lived down that way. And my father's boss, Bob Stewart, lived the first house up on Glendale.
Yeah.
And then later there was a family that came from, I forget if it was Latvia or Lithuania, and they lived in that house.
I see.
And across the street, the Desitels lived. The Desitel twins were a year older than I, the two fellows, Fletcher and Bill.
Uh-huh.
And they went to Kalamazoo Central and were officers in the high school downtown. Considering it was only 3 years, it was always amazing to me that anybody from Parchment would be. Because most of the people, as I said, had gone through school from elementary school to junior high into Kalamazoo Central.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were very popular.
This is great that you named all these people in the neighborhood. This is great to have all those names.
Oh, yeah.
Because when people are listening, it'll jar some memories for some people. Yeah.
Well, not very many, because a lot of those people are long dead. Even the ones my age are dead.
Yes, have you lost?
I got the list. I got some information. They had a class reunion for 46, 9/11, and they sent me the list of those who had died, like 250, because the class was 500. It was the only public school, high school.
Sure.
And there were the Calvins. There were two brothers, Dale and Ronald Colvin in that list, and they lived here in Parchment. And there were several others, and I was going to bring that with me today. Unfortunately, we left early to go to my granddaughter's activity at Kalamazoo Christian, so I didn't think we were going to be gone.
We've got a busy week, yeah.
But
flying in from South Carolina.
So now what else would you...
Yeah, well, what else did we... there weren't very many stores here.
No,
there weren't many businesses. Because you were here from
1920...
You were born in 28?
Yes.
And so...
Probably 1930, 31.
So you were here in the 30s. Mm-hmm. But the mill was humming, I think.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your dad made a good living there, I would think.
My father was never without a job. There was no depression as far as the mill was concerned.
I've heard that.
Yeah. They always had a job.
Put you to work somewhere, even if it was out in the park or...
Well, my dad didn't have that problem, but yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said, one of his younger brothers came. Burton came. And he worked in mill number one.
Okay.
And he never worked under my father. Mm-hmm. Worked in the old mill.
I see.
What we call the old mill.
Yes. Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
No, they never were without. And during the war, they printed the coupons.
Yep.
And the feds were in the print shop watching.
And
every piece of paper was very closely monitored.
Really?
Oh, yes. I mean, nobody else told you that.
I don't believe so. What do you know about that?
Yeah, the print shop monitored. That was during the war.
They printed those ration coupons? Is that what they call them? What did they call them?
Well, there were some that were like the size maybe a little bit smaller than a dime, but they were like cardboard. But these were actual, that came in a book.
Ration books.
Yeah. And gasoline,
booklets.
Sugar, meat.
Yeah.
And
those were done in the print shop at the mill.
Right.
Okay.
And they were very closely supervised.
Okay.
Because it was a federal. It was not the local police. It was the federal.
So federal officials would show up?
Yes.
Around or inspect the...
They were very observant, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, when I worked in the office, it was always the parchment paper, the food processing, Kellogg inserts, delicatessen paper, all that sort of thing.
Okay.
I have... very few sheets left of the wax paper that my dad used to bring home.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Still got
and some. I garnered that very closely.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when did you leave Parchment?
I went in 1948. I went to Michigan State University.
Okay.
And I graduated in December of 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And I interned at Henry Ford Hospital as a dietetic intern for a year.
Okay.
And when I finished that, I went to University Hospital in Ann Arbor. I was on staff for 3 years there. And I did therapeutic dietetics. Lived in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And so then I got sick of that. And then I decided I would take up an option of going back to Michigan State University, and I worked in the student union in the cafeteria.
Okay.
And I was a supervisor, and at that time we would have restaurant students that we would supervise as well as the regular employees, plus in the summertime when the students were gone or between terms, we used high school students.
I see.
And I did that until, 19... Oh, I got married.
You got married.
I got married. My husband worked at Kellogg Center. He was also a Michigan State University grad.
I see.
And he was in institution administration because the hotel school was not an establishment when he graduated.
Okay.
So that was part of the home ec, just like I was in dietetics.
Yeah.
And after we were married, then when I was having my first child, when you were... We were trying to remember the other day, if it's 3 or 4 months, you were through working. You could no longer work.
That's right, if you were pregnant. That's right.
So then I stayed home, and we lived on campus. I had an apartment in the faculty bricks, and my husband lived in with me when we were married.
I see. Okay.
And then We had two boys, 14 months apart. And then my husband transferred to the Kellogg Biological Station.
Sure.
The university decided instead of him working at Kellogg Center and doing accounting and with his food service background, sent him down to manage the hotel. Well, it was conference center.
Yeah.
So it's housing, food service. Sure. And then in the summertime, we have all the graduate students. So we'd have 100 graduate students with their families. So lots of children to play with.
I see.
And
okay.
We have a daughter that was born when we were at the biostation.
Yeah. Now, is the bio, it's in Augusta? Hickory Corners?
Hickory Corners.
Sure.
It's adjacent to the bird sanctuary, to the farm, and they all went to Kellogg schools. The boys graduated from Gull Lake High School. Jill graduated from Comstock because by then my husband had retired.
Okay.
At that time, you were 25 years, you could change jobs. So he opted to go.
I see.
And so we had to move because we lived in university housing.
Yeah. And so then, so he retired?
He retired. I was.
What were you doing?
I didn't go back to work. I kept up my dietetic registration.
Yeah.
And I did not go back to work until my oldest son went to community college at Kellogg Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, before that, I had done census work for Jeanette Baker, whose husband was the principal of this high school. And so I enjoyed doing census work. That was very interesting. At that time, nobody challenged you. You could ask questions. And
you mean the 10-year census?
Not the decennial. I never did decennial.
Not decennial.
I did enumerating.
I see. Where'd you do that?
Kalamazoo County and some in Battle Creek.
I see.
Kelvin County.
Okay.
But you could be home. I mean, when my daughter got home and the younger son got home. So, you could schedule it so you'd be home.
Yeah.
And then I went back to work at the VA hospital in Battle Creek.
When'd you do that?
I can't tell you what year. I guess when David went I guess she was still at community college at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a while ago because he's 53.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then, I was at the VA, and then my husband worked for Calhoun County when he retired from the bio station. And he worked for mental health.
I see.
And then we made several trips to the South with his sister and her husband, who was older.
Okay.
And we decided that maybe we'd like to live in the South, much to my mother's disgust. My father and mother were very independent. We're not going to leave that house. There was no way they were not going to stay in that house. So my father died in, 83? And my mother lived in the house one winter. I guess she lived in there 2 years because we stayed. And then I had an opportunity. Our daughter was going to be graduating from Western Michigan, and so we said, well, when she graduated, because David graduated from Michigan State and worked on campus. Gary went to University of Cincinnati, and it's 5 years mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And he got a GM scholarship, so he was in college. So then when Joe finished college at Western, we said, well, let's move. Let's plan to move if you can get a transfer. So I had the opportunity to transfer to Columbia, South Carolina.
Ah, that's how you ended up there.
And I still work for the VA.
You do.
Hospital. That, I did at that time.
At that time. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's my family.
And what were you? What did you do for the VA hospital then?
I did clinical dietetics.
Clinical dietetics.
Therapeutic, sure. Whichever.
Sure. Go ahead. Joan's going to answer her cell phone. If you have to talk to them, it'll be on tape.
It'll be a little bit. We're almost through. Okay. They're outside.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thanks for keeping that short.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Clinical dietetics.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I retired from the VA hospital. I had 16 years with the VA hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But I had worked enough with my Social Security to get a Social I didn't even apply for when I first retired because I have civil service through the VA after 16
okay.
years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when my husband retired, he worked for the medical school. He ran the medical school bookstore because the medical school was next to the VA in the old buildings.
I see.
So for University of South Carolina.
Yeah.
And so then they said, well, apply for civil service seat. And I had enough credits, so I get a whole $46 a month. But it pays for my Medicare part.
Sure.
So that helps.
Sure.
But
sure.
No, I've been retired 20 years, yeah, and I've volunteered for 20 years at what was at one time the county hospital in Columbia,
mm-hmm.
which is now Palmetto Health Richland Hospital.
Okay.
And I volunteered there 20 years. I go twice a week, and I walk. I do not sit.
Yeah.
For 4 hours.
Okay.
I have 6,000 hours of volunteer service.
So what do you mean you walk?
I deliver things to the different units, I pick up things from... It's something that's a legitimate job.
Of course.
But
sure.
It helps, and it gives me exercise.
You bet. I'm keeping you active.
But, yeah. And my husband did until about 2 years ago, and he
mm-hmm.
doesn't anymore.
He's done. So now, if we can kind of wrap up here...
Sure.
You know, you talked a little bit about parchment when you were a kid.
Right.
And you've been back here?
Oh, yes. We come.
Sure.
Now that our daughter's married and lives in Kalamazoo, and
okay.
she keeps track. She's the economic developer for Southwest Michigan First.
I see.
So she had lots of contact with the people with the mill.
I see.
And with the former mayor of Parchment.
Which one? Dan DeGraw. Ron Fleckenstein.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, she knows all about what's going on. And so it's been interesting, and she keeps us in what's
so
going on.
So how's it changed?
Well, it's spread out more.
Yeah, it's bigger.
It's
yeah.
developed more.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to come the day when all the people who had formerly worked here, we enjoyed that in
You
July.
Came to the reunion
yes.
last July. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting, and... the things that my father always worked so hard was to meet all the standards as far as the refuse and building the ponds for the mill to
okay.
be sure that they kept everything up to standard and to find out that that was a major problem still because mm. they hadn't developed what the standards should be.
Are you talking about the polluting?
Yeah.
The pollution situation?
Well, they had been worked with that always. I mean, mm-hmm. he was involved in that even way back when he worked. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was interesting to me to hear that it's still, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a youngster, I used to go in the mill with him on Sunday mornings. When he came home from church, he always had to go. I mean, even though he was not working every day, he still had to go and check on Sundays. So.
Oh, he did?
And
my
daughter can remember that she went with Grandpa. I don't know how. She says she does. The boys can. Gone in on Sunday morning, but that was always...
And you were just in there for a short while, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wasn't working. He was just making sure, checking with everybody. Everything
right.
was all right.
Right.
But it was nothing to get called in the middle of the night if something went wrong in the mill.
He did, hey?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we grew up in the age when you walk. So when I went to school, I walked to school, and I walked home for lunch,
That's
and
right.
I walked back to school.
That's right.
And my dad always walked to the... mill number two,
yeah,
and back, and home for lunch, and
mm-hmm.
back to the mill, so
mm-hmm.
it kept him in good health, too.
Right.
Until he had his pacemaker, and then
yeah,
he had other problems, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and this is going to get demolished, the mill.
Yeah,
by
we
the
were
end
looking
of next
at
year.
That's what I heard.
That'll come down, and it'll change a lot.
I'm sure, and the gardens are still there, basically. Where the tennis courts and
oh, yeah.
all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that.
In the park back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right behind the library.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. And it's nice to see that the library is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a good addition.
Very good.
I sent, my mother was always in, she was one of the founding members of the Parchment Garden Club.
She was?
Oh, yes.
I see.
And so when they, I know, they had something and they, it was in the paper, Kalamazoo paper, and I picked up on it and I sent some money because I said, my mother always thought very fondly of
the garden. They're still around. Mm-hmm. In fact, they are the ones, they along with the Friends of the Library,
right,
make all that homemade hot chocolate and bake all those cookies for the chocolate, holiday chocolate next week. So, they're very...
Well, Bev DeBoer, and her daughter is one of my daughter's best friends. It's ironic how things go around.
Yeah,
they were roommates when they lived on campus at Western.
Really?
Yeah, Cheryl DeBoer.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Things change,
a lot
don't.
Of people that they never, ever, that I know of, ever had any kind of a class reunion from ninth grade. And that I used to feel that that was too bad.
Oh.
That they never tried to get the people who'd gone to Parchment schools together.
You know, the only reunion I know of is the class of 57. That was the last year that it was ninth grade. The ninth graders get together. Chuck Nagy.
Well, I sure never got any notice about it.
Yeah, I will give you his information when we're through here and wrap up here. Sure. So, I think this is another, you know, everybody tells me, oh, I don't have anything new to say, and I don't remember much, and I get him in here, and
I remember.
There's plenty. It's always just another piece of Parchment history and KVP history, and we're very glad to have it.
Right.
So.
Well, of course, we missed all of the high school because it wasn't there.
That's right. Yeah. That's another way the place has changed a lot.
Right. Yeah. And most of the people that were in my class that I knew, like the Everett Bierma, they're gone, and Doris, and Yvonne Muffet. No, the people that were behind me even in school are gone.
Sure.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Joan. I know you flew in from South Carolina to see your family this Thanksgiving, and you squeezed us in, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for your stories.
Good.